This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And doesn't hold himself accountable. Did Jim Harbaugh hold himself accountable with the Niners when he was head coach? Because I don't remember him being accountable. I remember Harbaugh kind of being a sore loser. What I remember with Harbaugh.
I remember with Singletary specific. You know, it all falls on me. I'm going to have to watch the tape. It all falls on me. I'm going to have to watch the tape. Remember when he used to say that? I'm going to have to watch the tape.
And did you get tired of that?
It felt hollow at the end.
Right.
Completely hollow. So there's a happy medium, I think, that people are looking for. I don't know.
I don't know what you're looking for.
They're looking for blood.
I don't know what. Yeah, exactly. People want blood. Exactly what it is. Do you really want Shanahan's blood? Because let me tell you, as we talk about retinkering and retooling the roster, they may. Who you bringing in? Because, again, I keep hearing Belichick. And I remember the conversation about Belichick his last few years as a Patriot. Head coach. As the head coach. The guy was awful his last few years. Now we want to bring that guy back in here. Now you're retooling everything.
Let me hold you there. He won one of the greatest games in the Belichick archives when he beat the Buffalo Bills with Matt Jones having the windiest night in the history of the league. We all said this is the Picasso of Bill Belichick. Did we not?
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't say that. I said it was a great win.
It was one of the greatest wins ever.
No, it wasn't. Oh, my God.
I give that more to Josh McDaniels for abandoning the throws altogether.
The greatest win ever?
Come
on,
I'm saying given the circumstances, it was one of his great regular season. It was one of his great wins.
Stop it.
Was it not?
No, it was a good win. And then guess what? They went back to Buffalo later that season and got their asses clowned in the playoffs.
They clearly weren't as good.
Come on.
Because the personnel man in Belichick did himself in.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go to Matt in Santa Cruz. Matt, what's happening?
Time for the legal.
First legal.
Yeah, before we go to the mystery spot, hit the legal.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. December 20th.
What's that?
Keep your calendars open. The Doobie Awards will be taking place at a location.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we'll reveal a location later this week. We'll wait for the green light, but make sure you have December 20th off. The Doobie Awards will be on and popping. We, your friends, here on the Morning Roast, will be providing you free food.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes. You will be fed. You may even quench your thirst with some beverages.
At the confirmation on Friday night, there was a parent of one of the students who was getting confirmed, a lady. She comes over. She's like, I listen every single day. I just wanted to come to say what's up. You tell Bonte I listen every single day. And I said, hey, the 20th, we will be disclosing this. You have to get down. And she's like, I am going to be there. She told me she's going to be
confirmation?
There.
Confirmation? What's the confirmation?
It was the St. Brandon's confirmation. Oh, well, that's one of the last sacraments that you get. To be married in the Catholic Church, you're going to have to go through all of the sacraments. And so it's the final sacrament. Some schools have it in eighth grade. Some schools have it when you have to come back to the school in like freshman or sophomore year in high school. So it really depends. And so the Cardinal McElroy, who was born and raised in San Diego, he now, born and raised in Daly City, but lives in San Diego. He flew up and was there for the St. Brendan's 8th grade confirmation.
Wow.
And so Mikey G, Guido's son, had me as his sponsor, and I went up there, and we got confirmed, or I was his sponsor confirmation buddy.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, lovely night.
Look at you. Yeah. 510.
It's a lovely day.
510, can we bring the whole family to eat? It's about 20 of us. Absolutely.
I want you to.
Bring the whole damn family.
I'm begging Michelle to show up and bring the little guy, and I'm going to tell my mom to be there because she knows it's not going to, well, we're not going to do it at a strip club, and so I'm going to let you know that right now. Yeah.
That hasn't been confirmed.
Spoiler alert. God.
That hasn't been confirmed, actually. That part hasn't been confirmed. It may still be at a strip club.
I can't argue with you.
So, Noreen, if you're ready to go to a strip club, why she didn't say nothing about it? I saw her before the Seahawks game. She should have checked me in because I said, hey, Noreen, you come to the Doobies at the strip club? She said, yeah, I'm there.
Bull. She's just too nice.
I'm capping now.
Spadoni, you've had an afternoon with my family. If the whole crew shows up, we should have a lively attendance.
Yeah, crowd. I thought it was a Spadoni household. I got 9 brothers and sisters, and that guy was incredible. And the spread, by the way, shout out LJ's first birthday. Yeah. Michelle doing a hell of a job. It was really good. It was really nice to see him dig into that cupcake. Very cute.
So great.
Good job, buddy.
Oh,
good job.
The La Happy Cornetta birthday. Was hitting.
Happy birthday, LJ.
Nora ate a half a plate of rice. It was great.
Shout out La Cornetta.
Half a plate of rice.
That's
Benny
all she
doing.
Wanted. Was no, Benny there? Benny was very
Benny
shy.
Was chilling.
He was Benny was very, shy. He was big chilling, though.
You know what he said to me? Colorado, wasting an opportunity. I was like, what?
He did say that, yeah.
You down on the Big 12, too? And he was like, absolutely.
Yeah, why do you hate Colorado?
No, we were just all watching, laughing, thinking about you.
Why were you thinking about me watching Colorado?
Because we were like, this is a big free. Loss in the Hill House.
There ain't no big loss in my household.
You're the only person in the Bay Area who's hyping them up.
No, I wasn't hyping them up. No, I said they have a chance to win a Big 12 Conference Championship, and you guys poo-pooed on them winning a conference championship.
And then you asked T.O. two questions about Deion.
Even though I got to hear this guy talk about CYO Division III championships, and we talk about these conferences in high school and whatnot, we don't poo-poo on their conference championships. But since it's Deion involved, we want to poo-poo on Colorado being in the mix for a conference championship. So all I did was bring up Shador, because we were talking draft. And by the way, I wasn't. Mad because I had prize picks props. Over. I had prize picks props with Travis Hunter scored a touchdown and Shador throwing 2 touchdowns. And guess what? Ding, 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 ding.
So you were hyping
ding,
up
ding.
Your picks?
They both hit. I hit a parlay. I wasn't mad. I don't have a dog in a fight when it comes to Colorado. I don't have a dog in a fight when it comes to Colorado.
Did you hit the parlay
How
yesterday?
Things have changed in one
I did
weekend.
Not.
Christian Watkins
not.
Dropped that ball.
Yeah,
you
Christian
would have
Watson.
Oh my God.
I would have had it. I would have had a
what'd
parlay.
Watkins?
Christian Watson would have had over 30 yards receiving. That would have been a 50-yard touchdown.
You lost a lot of people fantasy potential playoff spots yesterday with that drop. Jordan Love had like 14 points. I would have gotten like 20.
Yeah, they were going to re-sign him, but he dropped the pen.
Yeah, he did. He did.
That's good. That's really good.
So, no, I don't know why you guys are thinking about me about Colorado's not my team. Just said they had a chance to win a Big 12, and it's a great accomplishment for where that program came from. And you guys poo-pooed it. Meanwhile, Miami is out there struggling with Wake Forest. I can't wait for them to get humbled. Oh, my God. Guy gets one winning season. Guy gets arrogant around here.
2-9.
Did we already get the Matt in Santa Cruz?
Oh my God.
About to save Billy Napier's job this weekend?
Oh, whatever. Billy Napier saved himself.
Who
job.
Is
They'd
this
be
character you're carving out? Angry Miami fan going at Florida State
fan. This guy, the biggest Farhan Zaidi apologist out here trying to flex. God, you should not be talking sports right now.
Let's keep talking about Colorado
Miami gets their ass kicked in the playoffs, you're not going to want to hear from me. Because I will be.
Because
no. Because I will be. Because
I will be. You're always insufferable. Whenever
someone
wins.
I will be insufferable when your team loses.
You're
gonna
be insufferable in Colorado.
Sorry, ask Miami, paying for players or whatnot. You guys
should
have lost a cow.
You don't think Colorado's got the checkbook out?
No, Deion's so wholesome, right?
We know that.
Give me a break.
We know that. Get off Colorado. I don't care why you're so mad.
Go pull your Colorado rant right now and how you were gassing him up.
Why are you so mad at Colorado? What did they do to you? I don't care why you got so much anger. It seems a little personal to me.
You're just a super big Colorado fan.
No, I'm not a super big Colorado fan.
You're allowed to like Colorado.
Hey, man, seriously, you're kind of annoying me. You're kind of annoying me because, again, when I said it was they have a chance to win a conference championship, and all of a sudden you started poo-pooing on it, and all of a sudden I'm the biggest Buffalo fan? What the hell is wrong with you, dude?
Hey, when when Lucas comes walking in, just let him know that USC game was unwatchable.
Big win for them over UCLA.
Miami's been unwatchable for a decade. They got one winning season. Now this guy's flexing and dropping nuggy dogs.
I didn't think I'd see a worse play than Trey Lance, you know, at quarterback. Whoever that quarterback is for USC is literally worse than Trey Lance. It's horrible.
They're a bad football team. UCLA is a bad football team.
But, you know, everyone chasing money at the end of a Saturday night betting on that UCLA-USC game.
Oh, we got a break. All right.
It was also hiding the stink of the Warriors scoring like 5 points in the fourth quarter and losing to Wemby.
Don't talk about that.
I was pissed.
I'm about to say something about our producer, but I'm going to go to break.
He loves
you. I'm going to stall him out.
Love it starting to piss me off.
He is. But it is good, though, to know that I live rent-free in a lot of people's homes. Ask Sacramento. They got me all T-shirts up there.
I'm squatting.
I've had enough.
You guys are watching Colorado thinking about me. Why?
I'm not even watching the Colorado game. Why would I watch that game?
Why are you talking? Produce the show for once.
Only thing I've been doing all morning.
I haven't heard from you all day long.
What a break.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Good Lord. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. A 15-minute drive-through oil change. Expert technicians. Check fluids, tire pressure, wipers, lights, batteries, and much, much more. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com.
Dante, you're doing great.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast, and we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me. Hey, 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 hey. Yeah.
All right, Larry June, you heard Kevin Buck, Hard Fox Sports. Niners get blasted by the Packers. Third worst loss during the Shanahan era. Lose 38-10. They had a loss 39-10 against the LA Rams in 2018. Loss to the Cowboys, 40-10 in 2017. This is the third worst loss. And you have a backup left tackle, backup quarterback. Got a right tackle who starts, but really should be a backup. And you got backup linebackers, got backup DBs, backup defensive linemen. Just was a recipe for a disaster. Yesterday was a disaster. It just was. You give up a 100-yard rusher for the first time in 55 regular season games. The penalties, nonstop. Felt like there was a penalty every other play. Felt like I was watching the Colorado Buffaloes, who are one of the most penalized teams in NCAA football.
It's the pre-snap ones that were killing me.
Pre-snap, post-snap, special teams. Just nothing went right for the 49ers yesterday.
You finally completed a pass for a chunk play to CMC, and he just coughs it up.
And he fumbles.
You know, it's funny, like I saw multiple beat writers after the game said that McCaffrey stood there, he started fielding questions from everyone, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I don't know. I don't know what the length of time was, but he took all the questions, he exhausted all the questions, and then he sat there and kind of just stared off into the abyss. And there's been times in my life for X, Y, and Z reasons where I've done that, and you catch yourself like, contemplating your own existence, where am I at in life? What is going on? How do we fix this? Like, and I started thinking about CMC, and I'm thinking to myself, like, what do you think is going through his head? Like, is this who I am? Is this, like, not that he's washed, I don't want to say that, but like, he's got to be thinking to himself, like, what do I do here? Like, I'm healthy enough to play, but I'm not clearly myself. Man, I just think they're in a tough spot.
11 carries, 31 yards, 2.8 yards a pop.
No
run. Had a long of 9. Jordan Mason, 3 carries, 8 yards, but he had the 16-yarder. A long one there. and he has some juice. Isaac Grando, no touches. Ricky Pearsall, no targets, no touches. So, if anything I want to accomplish this season is let me see Cowie, let me see Pearsall, let me see Grando and Mason, and let the youngsters play. And the same thing on the defense side of football. Renardo Green, Tig Brown, Malik Mustafa, any young defensive lineman, any young linebacker, D. Winters, Jalen Graham, I don't care. I want to see youngsters get some reps, get some playing time to see if one of these guys can come along for the ride next season.
So, like, Renardo's playing, Malik's playing, which I'm really happy with. Garendo, him and Jordan Mason have fumbled on these kickoffs. Like, I don't think they're kick returners, personally. That's just me.
They're not.
I don't think they're kick returners. They're in not. The same way, I don't know if Cowing's necessarily a kick returner. But they're fumbling on those, and I feel like, understandably, the coach doesn't have faith in them as pass blockers and as reliable guys who aren't going to put the ball on the ground. But, like, CMC's putting the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
So, and I look, I'm not saying CMC doesn't get more leeway. He's earned it, like, clearly. But, God, you got to find a way to get these guys on the field. And Jordan Mason's in a tricky spot. He's a restricted free agent at the end of this year.
I would re-sign him if I'm the 49ers. I would keep him here in this building. The guy
I would
has
too,
proven but, he can run at a high level.
But if you're investing that much into a guy who's only getting three touches a game, like...
Well, I think moving forward, Shanahan's going to have to take a... He's going to have to take a page out of Detroit's book. The way they use David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, it keeps them fresh. They both get their carries. You run two running backs. You're a running team anyway. You want to get the 30 carries. So it's okay to divvy it up. If you want to give McCaffrey 15, give Jordan Mason 10. It's okay.
Well,
it's okay to do that.
And on a team that's lacking guys who can get open quickly, CMC as a route runner could be deployed, you know, split out, and you could still have Mason in the backfield. It doesn't mean like if this were like Frank Gore, like you're not using Frank Gore in the slot. You can use CMC in the slot. So to me, there's no excuse to not find combinations of ways of getting them out there. And I'm not trying to pick on Kyle Juszczyk. I'm just saying, like, quite frankly, I actually want them to move off of Kyle Juszczyk, because one area where I feel like Kyle's very stubborn is taking Kyle off the field.
Yeah.
Juszczyk off the field. He refuses to do it.
What about Deebo?
No one fears him in the passing game.
What about Deebo? Do teams still fear Deebo in the passing game?
I don't know what's going on.
It feels like that fear factor's God.
I don't know what's going on with Deebo. But here's the other part. The Packers were packing the middle of the field, and Allen's not a great over the middle of the field passer. He's an edges passer. Well, he's a guy that I want to throw like beyond the numbers.
You brought up something.
What?
The middle of the field was congested, which teams know that the Niners want to throw the ball over the middle field. How many people have we talked to this year? Whether it's Brian Baldier, Patrick Peterson, listening to the Jay Gruden sound, Kirk Morrison, Jerry Rice last Monday, Jerry Rice was questioning why the Niners don't throw the ball outside the numbers consistently. You know, I got into it with David Lombardi yesterday on Twitter, and I respect David Lombardi. I think he's a fine journalist. I think he covers the Niners at a high level. But we disagree that they don't throw the ball outside the numbers consistently. At least Brock Purdy does it. And Brendan Allen actually has a strong arm, and he was getting it out there easily. It felt effortless for him to throw the ball outside the numbers. But the Niners don't do that as a whole consistently enough. And so, when the paint is congested, I'm saying the paint, but the middle of the field, and everybody knows what the Niners are going to do, that's where the tinkering needs to start with Kyle Shanahan and the retooling. The philosophical approach to a football game, especially in the pass game, where you're going to need to drop back, throw it out third down on the money down to make a play. Too many times they don't go outside the numbers or deep down the football field. Everything is in that 10 to 15 yard radius over the middle of the field. They got to change that because teams know what's coming.
So, like, when you say they don't throw outside the numbers, all the Purdy lovers, right, over the top, come on, they do. It's like, all right, let's break this down. It's one thing to do a 6 yard out that's in on against zone coverage with anticipation or even man and throw him the lollipop throw that, and I'm not knocking Purdy, but he'll throw that lollipop out. You know what I'm talking about, with a little bit of arc. It's another thing to throw the deep comebacks, the curls on the outside, not on the inside.
On the outside.
The curls on the outside.
Yep.
The posts on the outside or flag route. They don't throw those. And I'm talking about the ones where there isn't a lot of separation and you have to rifle it in. in, you know, 15, 25 yards, not down the field, but across the field because of where you are stationed as the quarterback deep in the pocket. They do not throw that pass a lot with Purdy. Now, they will throw the anticipation out route, but they don't throw those deep comebacks and those curls. And they don't throw those out. So I think that's what you're talking about.
Plant your back foot and just zip it.
Exactly. Now, Brandon Allen actually did make a couple of those throws. And so I'm saying to myself, like, Purdy brings a lot to the table. A lot. Pocket presence, feel, anticipation, touch, accuracy over the middle. The one little area that has kind of bugabooed him, which Jimmy had the same problem, is that hard out throw. Now, how many can you make? I don't know. But what I've learned is that defenses now are like, oh, we dare you to consistently make that throw. And it's made their offense harder to run. Yeah,
the passing game looks stale. As Jay Gruden said, if he's looking for a passing game to study, he doesn't like studying a 49ers passing game because they're not a good third down passing team. And they reared its ugly head again yesterday. So that's all I was saying. And people got, oh, man, you disrespect Purdy. I never said Brandon Allen was a better quarterback than Brock Purdy. You say that maybe there's not a $45 million difference between Brandon Allen and Brock Purdy. I say there's a $100 million difference between Brock Purdy and Brandon Allen. I know when I walk on the football field with number 13, Brock Purdy, I have a chance to win a football game. With Brandon Allen, I don't think you have a shot in hell to win a football game. I'm sorry. You don't have a chance. Brock Purdy, I know, won't be in a lot of football games. You're not going to get blown out. This guy, Brandon Allen, got out there, and it wasn't all his fault, but the turnovers just started snowballing. He's a statue in the pocket. He can't move. He's not mobile. We got no shot with Brandon Allen. So I actually think Brock Purdy did make some money yesterday within this franchise. Hey, you really want to go with Brandon Allen? Josh Dobbs, if I go down, this is what it's going to look like. And it was ugly yesterday. That game's not 38-10 with Brock Purdy, a quarterback.
Oh, probably not. But I would also say to you that, like, this is the same conversation people have about Tua, because Tua missed a lot of weeks. And then, like, we're talking starter caliber, whatever you think Tua is, to, like, clearly unplayable backup. That's what Brandon Allen is. Yeah, I keep saying Josh. Like, he's unplayable backup. He's not serviceable. There's no one who thinks he's serviceable. Purdy, whatever anyone thinks, at baseline is middle of the road starter. Even the most harsh Purdy critic can admit that. So that drop off is precipitous. But like again, as we do these algorithms, like, if Sam Darnold's available because JJ McCarthy is going to take the job in Minnesota, I don't know what ends up happening. Like, is there a $30 million difference price point wise between Purdy and Darnold? Because if that's the case, you know, as much as I love Purdy, like,
you move on to Sam Darnold?
Well, it would make me think. I'm just in no hurry.
You have come a long way when it comes to Sam Darnold.
You know what I've learned? This last 3 years with the Niners? I'm in no rush to pay any of you anymore. Like, it's the NFL. I'm in no rush to give anyone anything. And if I have to, I'll franchise tag you. Like, because look at some of their contracts. They're not good. Is the Trent Williams deal good? No. Is the Debo deal been good? No. And I would have paid every one of these guys. I admit it. I would have been wrong. I like the George Kittle deal. Has actually aged gracefully. It's been amazing. Is the Juice deal that good? Not really. Like, really, not really. He making like a $2 million more than Derrick Henry, for Christ's sake. Like, come on. Is the Brandon Ayuk deal good? No. You know, none of those deals are looking good right now. So I'm in no rush to pay anyone.
JC Sacramento. JC, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
I just want to I stepped back and I kind of had to assess the team and everything. And, you know, I've been calling in saying I'm not panicked because the division does not allow me to be panicked. Now, I'm starting to adjust that because do I think we're going to win a Super Bowl? No. Now, can we make the playoffs? Yes. But that can also hurt us in the long run with draft picks. So, I mean, still not panicked, but it just is what it is. But I lay the entire blame of yesterday and the season at Kyle Shanahan's feet. Now, I want to say this about Deebo Samuels. He had pneumonia. I had pneumonia last year. You can still have lingering effects on your lung capacity and your energy. So we don't necessarily know. So until I know what's going on with him and his health after dealing with pneumonia, I don't really want to harp on him too much. As far as the team fumbling yesterday with the quarterback and Deebo dropping passes and the penalties, I'm laying all that at the feet of Kyle Shanahan. Every last bit of it. You drafted these players. You overpaid Juwan Jennings and Deebo and Kyle Juszczyk and everybody. You overpaid them. Your team is undisciplined because your managerial skills are not making a disciplined team. They're taking after your temperament. That's on you. The game plan yesterday called for, we know you have discipline as a head coach. We saw you run the ball 8 times in a playoff game to get to the Super Bowl. We know you can do what it takes to win the game. Why the first 3 of the 4 plays was passes? You have a backup quarterback. Your starting tight end is coming off of an injury. Your best wide receiver's out. Run the ball. You got 3 backs back there. You're trying to do play action when there's no run action to play off of. So, of course, Green Bay is not shocked or surprised or not even buying it because you haven't established a run. Run the ball. Jordan Mason is there. Use him. Take some stress off of Christian. Put Garrido on the field. Let him go. He's a 4-3-3 guy. The fastest back on the team. One of the fastest players on the team. Put him at wideout. He played wide receiver in high school. So he has probably some decent ball skills. I'm not saying it's a one quick fix, but what I am saying is I put all of this on Kyle Shanahan. His inability to want to change, his inability to sit here and you sit here and say that, oh yeah, Jacob Cowing is he's a young receiver, he's not ready. But you got Ricky Parcells in there. He can't beat man coverage at 23 years old in college playing against 18, 19-year-olds. What made you think he was going to beat it in the pros? You got a guy running another 4-3. Put him out there for a decoy, if nothing less. Just get some speed on the field and exhaust all of your options, and he's not doing that. I think, personally, y'all might think I'm crazy. I think after looking at the last 10 years or so, his offense is a mirage. His offense is not really that good. It's good when you have all-star players and A-list actors like last year and in Atlanta, but we got a little bit, we bought into that mirage with Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, the number one receiver in the league and a top 5 quarterback, and we said he can duplicate that here. It took him 7 years to have a good offense here. We generally have a great running game and a subpar to mediocre passing game.
Who has a good offense in the league, regardless of talent?
This year or in the last 7 years?
Just so, yeah, let's say the last 5 years, give or take.
I'm going to say Cincinnati's had a good offense at times. Baltimore, we know, has had a good offense. You could even go as far as to say San Diego wasn't winning, but they were putting up great numbers on offense. We don't have to mention Kansas City. We know Buffalo has put up big numbers. The Dallas Cowboys put up big numbers on offense. Like, it's teams out there who are consistently going to the playoffs and vying for those Super Bowls and those championships. They have good offenses. Like, your defense is banged up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Compromise from top to bottom at every level of your defense. There's no reason why Green Bay had 40 runs and you had, what, 17 runs? You
should let's be real. Green Bay was shutting down the run yesterday. There was no lanes. McCaffrey's not getting to the second level, JC. I hear you, but it wasn't like, hey, let's just run the ball. Trust me, Shanahan wants to run the ball. If anything, Shanahan wants to run the ball at least 30 times. Where's the run game open at?
What's funny is
they shut the run game down.
But you say that like, oh, Shanahan wants to run the ball, you know, 30 times. And I do believe he wants to. But then you have to stick to the script. And
yeah, well, with the script goes out the window when you're down 17-0. You're trying to get back into a football game.
But again, his point...
You can't just run the ball and just, what, get to your... McCaffrey ran the ball for 2.8 yards a carry.
McCaffrey's not the only guy that could be on the field running the ball.
Sure, you could run Jordan Mason here and there. I agree with Jordan Mason getting more carries. But early on, the run game was doing nothing. Like, the run game was... Green Bay was all over that.
Well, they did drop back to pass on the first, six straight plays.
Yeah, well, if you're Green Bay, what are you going to do? Take away the run and make Brandon Allen beat
No
you.
Doubt. But I get what... I guess where I get kind of caught up is there is a contradiction at times with Shanahan regarding, like, hey, I want to get to the 30 run per game thing, but I have to be up in the fourth quarter to be able to get to that. Like, I feel like he does try to throw early in games.
Well, you got
to
throw to loosen up the defense. You got to get him out that... Defenses know coming into a game against the 49ers, they're going to want to run the ball.
But after that first drive, again, I'm getting in the weeds here, but after that first drive, like, your defense has been on the field forever. The worst thing you can do is go three and out quickly, which is exactly what they did.
I agree, but second down, so they come out first and 10. Green Bay scores,
that was a little
7-0.
Pitch play.
They throw the first play of the game. First offensive snap for the 49ers. 9-yard catch. 9-yard pass, George Kittle.
Yeah, that was the one where he stepped up and flipped it.
So it's second and one. Second and one. Dominic Pooney, false start. So now you're at second and six. You're running the ball. 1 yard. Now it's third and five. Third and five. Then you get sacked on third down. He
fumbled the ball in the pocket.
So you were going to run and get a first down on second and one and reset the sticks. So then you go, Green Bay goes with a 51-yard kick. Next drive, first and 10. McCaffrey for 3 yards. All right, McCaffrey for 3 yards. And where is it at? Oh, wait. But McCaffrey rushes for 3 yards, and guess what? Penalty. Dominic Pooney holding. So now you're at first and 20. Well, you throw a short pass to McCaffrey, second and 15. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to pass the ball, second and 15. They're going to run the ball there? Everybody would have been kicking and screaming, second and 15, why are you running the ball? So your drive gets derailed with two penalties.
I hear you.
Right away.
But again.
First two drives, you get two penalties on both of those drives, and all of a sudden you go from a second one to the second and six, and you go from a second and seven to a first and 20. So I hear everybody saying, run the ball more. They were going to try to run the ball. That's what Shanahan does. And then when you say, and then with JC, I will push back on JC and second this. I know I'm long-winded here, Sasky, but bear with me. When you say that their offense hasn't been good in the last 5 years, it's been a mirage. Well, look at points scored the last 4 years. 13th, 6th, 3rd, 13th. Top half of the league. 2 of the years, you're top 7. Yards, 7, 5, 2, and 4. They're still getting a lot of yards. Is that a mirage offensively?
No, they're a good offense. Now they're not, but they've been a good offense.
Points. 9th, 1st, 3rd, 20th.
Yeah, they've been a good offense.
Hey, so I don't subscribe that the offense has been a mirage. So their offense has stunk this year. But let's be real. Shanahan's been really good at dialing up plays and moving the football. Like, that's not a mirage.
Well, this year, I would say that the yardage feels a little hollow. Because to your point, how many times were they second and 25, third and 16, and they'll get like 9, 10, 11 yards, and they had no chance of getting a first down, and it's teams playing crazy prevent. So, like, the passing numbers this year feel a little skewed, specifically the passing.
Well, look at penalties, right? And... you know, it's penalties on coaches. Well, players got to execute as well. Dominic Pooney jumping off false start.
Well, it was his worst game as a... I mean, he had three penalties in the first half.
Right, exactly. Is that all on Kyle Shanahan?
No, it's his worst game as a rook.
I mean, the Niners got penalized 9 times for 77 yards.
But Jake Brendel is on Shanahan. Like, we've been screaming about center for however many years. And there's times where Brendel's serviceable, and there's other times where he's really let them down. Right, like his inability to have a quality center, and it does rear its ugly head at times.
He tried to get one, Weston Richburg. And he underwhelmed, and he got hurt. And he got hurt. And so you allocated your money elsewhere. And you got cheap with Brendel, and Brendel hasn't killed you. Richard Sherman, he couldn't believe all the missed tackles.
The thing that just hurt me more than anything was the tackling. There were 15 missed tackles in the first half alone. I just have never seen it from these same men in these jerseys. Now, there are some new faces, some new people on the D-line, but 15 missed tackles in a game is mind-boggling. But 15 and a half of football, I mean, it was disappointing to watch. It was disappointing to feel helpless. You feel helpless. watching it happen because Josh Jacobs just was doing whatever he wanted. I mean, it looked like two or three guys have a hold of him and he just runs through the tackle. I mean, it was demoralizing consistently. And that was just the first drive of the game that he was doing this. He was, I think he had 77 yards in the first quarter or something like that.
So, missed tackles. Shanahan, Sorensen can't tackle for you. They certainly seem like they were in position to tackle the 49ers. And I don't mean to, I'm not exonerating Shanahan because I think he could be better. Sorensen obviously could be better. But when you're meeting Josh Jacobs in the hole, a yard, you know, a yard deep into the line of scrimmage, and he's still plowing forward for 5 and 6 and 7, well, that's on players. Tackle. You're not tackling.
Well,
you're being soft.
It was hard for me to come out of that game after seeing Cooper, who was drafted just a few picks after Pearsall, make plays, and the Niners could clearly use a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the Pearsall pick is a head-scratcher today. It just is. Like, look, you can pick all the other receivers. You want to say Ladd McConkley, fine. But I think about, like, what Harbaugh did with the L.A. Chargers this year. They had the 5th or 6th pick. Everyone was like, take a receiver, take a receiver, take a receiver. He took a tackle, Joe Alt, and it was a great pick. And he realized, like, there's a ton of receivers. I'll take one in the second round. And they took one, Ladd McConkey, who was injured a lot at Georgia, and he's been awesome for them right now. I look at the Pearsall pick, and I'm like, you're a team that doesn't really necessarily throw the ball. You need a defensive lineman. There are, literally, if you look at it, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, then D-tackle, D-tackle, wide receiver, D-tackle, D-tackle. Cooper DeJean goes right after that. And then a slew of cornerbacks. Then Jackson Powers goes to the race. I am looking at that first-round pick, and I'm saying, like, that was a horrible value in year one. Maybe he ends up being a great player. Maybe you end up squeezing the lemon, and he becomes a dynamic player for you. But in year one with Debo and with Ayuk, it's a real head-scratcher taking wide receiver on this team when you had offensive line issues, D-tackle issues, linebacker issues. I have a hard time saying that was a good pick today.
They went Pearsall, and right after Pearsall was Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett, and Ladd McConkey. And then you think about the Rams and their D-line, Verse and Fisk out of Florida State, picked after Ricky Pearsall. Now, Ricky Pearsall may end up being great. Who knows? But it just felt like with Ayuk right there, with the intentions of paying Brandon Ayuk, and you have Debo back, and you have Juwan Jennings, maybe you undervalued your wide receiver room. Maybe you undervalued them. Or you're like, hey, we know Debo's playing this last year. Let's get Ricky Pearsall in here. We're going to be okay without this first-round pick contributing at a high level. But, oh, Brandon Ayuk gets hurt. Juwan Jennings has been out. Debo's been hurt. We got to expedite the process with Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Calvin. Maybe that's what they're thinking down in Santa Clara. I have no idea, but it doesn't look good right now.
Like, we could say that.
It doesn't look good right now.
They've made a lot of great moves. That was not trading Debo, he hasn't had a great year. I don't know whether that's mentally, physically, whatever. He hasn't been great. Waiting to pay Ayuk screwed up the beginning of the year for Ayuk, and then he got hurt, which is out of your control. But it doesn't look like great money right now. And then whatever the hell the pick was with Pearsall, you can't control him getting shot, but he did get hurt twice before he even got hurt off the field, right? And then when he's played, he's been all right, but they don't target him. They don't throw the ball like that. So it's like taking the D-tackle 13th overall. It's not great value for that pick.
Let's go to Richard Sherman on whether or not the Niners are looking at Daniel Jones.
Just couldn't get right. You couldn't find a way. You couldn't see it. And I just don't see the hope, you know, that I want to see. And I know that people are like, man, they're considering Daniel Jones. Even that's disappointing to me, Mitchell.
Hey, yeah, that would be disappointing if Daniel Jones walked into a locker room in Santa Clara.
Saddest starter in Niner history for you? For you, the saddest starter for you. Like, that's when you knew, like, wow, we're down this bad. Because I know exactly what name I'm going to go to.
Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, Gabbert was bad. Was it Chris Wenke bad?
I mean, they're all in the same boat. Cody Pickett.
Brian Hoyer.
Hoyer was pretty bad. But, and that, you started the year off with Hoyer.
JT O'Sullivan.
He actually had moments. I think they started like 3-1 or 2-1 or something like that.
Got a podcast.
Just turnovers.
If they brought in Daniel Jones, that would be really sad.
The teams too were hilarious. It was like a top contender in the Ravens, kind of a middle fringe team in the Niners, and then just dumpster fire the Raiders. Like, you got your pick of the litter there, I guess.
I just don't get, what's the fascination with Daniel Jones? He can't throw.
I mean, you could watch the game yesterday, and the Giants were just so bad, like awful.
Oh, yeah, DeVito was terrible.
Like, I would feel better about Daniel Jones after that game and performance yesterday. It's like, maybe it wasn't his fault completely because Tommy DeVito just looked even worse.
Okay. I saw a stat fly across the timeline last night. CMC, basically, Barkley's having the CMC impact to the Eagles that Bonte predicted, that a lot of people predicted. He has 12 touchdowns this year, Barkley. How many touchdowns do the New York Giants have this year as a team?
Offense and defense. Like 10.
16. He has 10 plays of 30-plus yards, yep. Saquon Barkley.
Love Saquon.
The New York Giants have 9.
Love
as
Saquon.
A team.
Love crazy. Saquon. Love Saquon.
And
first play in the third quarter, boom, 70.
And McKinstry, who is the let go, he was the secondary player, the Xavier, safety.
Yeah.
He made McKinney. The interception yesterday for Green Bay. He was the best player on the defense for the New York Giants last year.
Yep.
Joe Shane's done.
Might be done. But Saquon's not having this type of impact with the New York Giants.
Yeah, no one's saying that, but you can't let him go to your
rival.
You
can't let him go. Well, you didn't know he was going to go to the rival, and he does. That sucks, but...
You lost him for nothing.
You lost him for nothing, no doubt about it, but I'm glad Saquon's not that. When you wasted Saquon Barkley. Like, Saquon Barkley needed to get out of New York City and get away from that organization. Thank God he did. Now, he went to the Philadelphia Eagles, which drives me crazy, but, boy, it is his talent. And, you know, it's funny you bring up Saquon.
Well, because I was watching him, and I got sad for CMC, because Saquon looks... unbelievably electric. And I'm like, what happened to CMC?
Not to make it about the internet or me or anything about that, but it was funny because you mentioned this back on September 6th. I was like, you know, he's going to have that Christian McCaffrey. As soon as he signed, I was like, boy, that's their Christian McCaffrey. I was really worried about him signing with Philadelphia. And I'm seeing all the comments from Niner fans. Yeah, he ain't CMC. He's injury prone. Yeah, they ain't got nothing. Blah, blah, blah. The same people was in my mentions yesterday telling me how much of a cloud I am. Here this September 6th, these guys telling me that Saquon ain't nowhere near on CMC's level. We forget, Saquon was a top 5 pick.
2.
He was a top 10 pick just like CMC. Does a lot. Just couldn't stay healthy for a long time, which was the knock on CMC when he got traded to San Francisco. Well, he's healthy now. And he's taking 36 touches, 30 touches a game, and he's getting stronger as the season goes along. However, the theme of the show seemed to be like Shanahan this and that, Shanahan blah, blah, blah. Luke Kuechly, who's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day, star middle linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. I thought he stole a DPOY from Navarro Bowman, but whatever.
He did. And then got dismantled in the playoff game, but that's okay.
But here is Luke Kuechly. On the whole Shanahan rumors or whether or not the Niners should move off of Shanahan.
I think it's preposterous. I think it's, I have played against Kyle Shanahan. I love him as a coach. I think any talk about him, them moving on from him would be a terrible decision for the 49ers. I don't know what else to say. I had such a challenge playing against that offense and that system and what they're capable of doing. I just think that they've had some injuries at key places this year, and with that being said, they're a game back in the NFC West.
That's Luke Kuechly, Niner fans. Luke Kuechly saying it would be idiotic to move off from Shanahan. Idiotic. Is that the avenue you guys really want to go? I don't.
I don't see what the alternatives are. You know, I think he's earned the right to come back and see what he's got next year at minimum, if not multiple years. Like, one down year doesn't make you a bad coach.
No.
Now, if you trend multiple bad years, now that's a different question. But one down year does not make you inept and stupid and, like, unvalidate all the winning that you've had. I'm sorry. That's just, like, did Phil Jackson have down years?
Absolutely.
Okay. Steve Kerr?
Yep.
Okay. What about Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
Bill Walsh?
Yeah.
Parcells?
Yeah.
Like, pick whatever sport you want. Joe Torre? Like, all the greatest coaches have had down years. This is a down year. Sometimes things are out of your control.
I laugh at this, like 925, because I hear it a lot.
What?
We don't have to move off from Shanahan. He can stay on board as the offensive coordinator. Just like...
Could you imagine, Shanahan? I know I've welcomed in Bill Belichick to be the head coach, and I'm going to step down to my appropriate
role. I'm going
to
be the OC.
I know I've been running things with an iron fist for the last 8 years, and everything falls on me. And I've actually had a better record than Belichick since I started here. But I'm gonna move aside.
Wait,
I'm gonna
say?
Take a lesser role. Spadoni, I'm gonna allow you to host the show from here on out, and I'm gonna go into that room, and we're gonna flip flop because it's the betterment of the show.
But I'm sure Kyle Shanahan and Joe Shasky will keep that salary. I will also remove myself, but I need to get compensated as such as well.
It's just
give
Shanahan
me my
stuff.
Money.
Shanahan stuff. Wild. I want my money. I want my money now.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
My final thought is this. I love this week. Just show up on Monday. Get through Monday. Tuesday, it's like, just get about halfway through the workday. And then Wednesday, it's the least productive workday in the history of America. I love this week. Thanksgiving week, my favorite holiday.
I'm going to be locked in 6 to 10 when I'm filling in for Bonte Hill. So I'm going to be working very hard.
Well placed, Bedoni. Will Lubman be producing Wednesday morning?
Mm-hmm.
Will he work hard?
He'll be locked in.
He's going to be locked in for
food
Friday.
Food and Butcher.
It's going to be locked all in show. Friday. All show, Food with Butcher?
Oh, why not?
We might. There might not even be an open for the morning roast. It'll just be Food with Butcher opening the show.
Oh, my gosh.
And ain't nothing you can do about it.
You like mac and cheese, Butch? You a mac and cheese guy?
I love all of it. I love a little bit of stuffing. I like gravy. I like mashed potatoes. I like potato skins. I like mac and cheese, little asparagus, some green beans. Like, give it all to me, baby. And we had a little turkey on Friday night. The dark meat is so much better. Like, give me a good, moist thigh over the breast any day. Save that drop.
Relax. Everyone is so wild right now on a Monday morning. Everyone needs to chill.
Lubman in my ear said dark meat is better.
Oh.
I don't remember ever saying that.
You limped in with that comment.
Yeah, no, say what's chess, man. Why are you guys so afraid to
say
things out loud?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
We're just doing radio. My final thought is, what the hell happened to the Warriors in the fourth quarter Saturday night? Can't get over that one. Only scored 13 points in the fourth quarter. It's tough. Got to win tonight. Got to beat the Brooklyn Nets, who beat the Kings last night.
Sell me on the Nets.
Oh, they can shoot the three. Cam Thomas could light it up with the best of them. Really good point guard, 6'4", strong, gets to the free throw line. Cam Johnson, a guy who a lot of people want to trade for, 3-and-D guy who can hit the three. Brooklyn gets up and down, one of the top three-point shooting teams in the league. Athletic. Not a game you could just walk into, roll the balls out, and say, hey, we can win. No, you got to play. You got to play well. Got to play button-up basketball. There's my take on the Brooklyn Nets.
It's a good sell job.
Well.
Who's their coach?
Some no-name.
There you go.
Playing hard for no-name.
Oh, I found him. Jordy Fernandez.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sacramento Kings assistant.
Hey, you better be careful. Coach Prime might want that job.
Oh, he was the head coach for the Canadian men's national team. That's right. He had to take the questions on why Wiggins. It was very weird why Wiggins wasn't like part of the team. Yeah.
Mike Brown's assistant coach. Some people in SAC said they wanted him to be the coach instead of Mike Brown.
Bonte, I like how you forgot his name, but you remembered all those fun facts.
Well, I just
to go
needed
with
a
him.
Reminder. That's all.
Bonte, you know what we did during the middle of a Saturday, me and Spadoni?
What's that?
We switched off college football for a brief second to watch USC Notre Dame women's hoops, baby.
How'd you do that?
Juju Watkins, future Valkyrie.
You don't watch the film. We watch the film.
We're scouting the Valkyrie's first overall pick. Juju Watkins.
You guys
weren't
doing
right
that.
They have the fifth pick.
They have the fifth pick. So
I don't have the
first pick.
It's not fair.
Well, Paige Beckers and other people might go.
Hey, Juju's not going to be available to leave until
next year.
Yeah. Oh, it's not like men's.
Yeah.
Those Notre Dame uniforms for football. With the gold?
They're not there.
They were sick.
I can't ask another team. I can't wait to be humbled.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
How do you like that?
They beat nobody all
year. Touchdown Jesus.
They lost to NIU. All year. We remember that.
They haven't beat nobody all year, man.
It's
all
right.
Damn. All right. Oh, by the way, tune in to Warriors Live today.
What time
is Warriors Live? 6:30?
Six.
Who's doing it?
Evan Giddings.
Evan Giddings
doing it? Hour pre? 30-minute pre?
He's doing 30 minutes, and then they go to the network. Tim Roy be on the call 7 o'clock alongside Tom Tolbert. And then after the game, tune in the Warriors wrap-up with Evan Giddings.
Look at what, you.
He's going to he's gonna have to dual screen it, though, because his Chargers are playing the Ravens tonight.
The Harbaugh.
He's struggling. The Harbaugh. That's going to be a good game.
I need Lamar to not score 20 points.
Who do I pick? Who's going to win that game?
I like Chargers defense.
Where is the game?
L.A.
Oh, we had two SoFi Stadium games back-to-back.
Is Chargers winning tonight? Jim Harbaugh gets his first win over his brother?
I would love that. That Thanksgiving loss with Ted Ginn Jr. dropping that pass, I'll never forget that, Niners.
Oh, Ravens are coming off an L. I like the Ravens.
Yeah, I need that because I'm in a pick and pull. I'm only up two games.
Just no Lamar touchdowns.
I need to make a good pick. It's me in second place and the rest. Some separation there, but I need to win this pool.
Before you do that read, Bonte, my final thought is I just want to give a quick shout out to the Cal Bears. Sorry. Great 98-yard drive bring the axe back to Berkeley where it belongs, man. Love doing it. Said that picture of the stare down that I know Shasky loves into the group thread, too. That was really cool to see.
Dork moment all time.
It's one of the coolest rivalry traditions in all of college sports. The Stanford axe. One of the elite rivalry trophies. Shasky, do your hit. Read up the history of the Stanford axe. It's a pretty cool trophy. Anyway, so shout out to the Bears. Shout out to Fernando Mendoza. Great interview after the game. Very emotional. Check it out.
Great Cal Unis.
Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Hey, love it. Never misses the opportunity to crack the mic.
It's my final thought, Shasky.
Can't get on the book of gas, but boy, he can get in on the mic. I'm kidding. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices.
What's up, Joe, bro?